Glad I know whom I believe. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for Sister Ruby. She is a diamond in our crown around here. We praise the Lord for that. And Brother Hillary, he just keeps on rejoicing in God. I enjoy sitting beside him singing. I can't sing. He can, but he even makes me sound good. I just kind of blend in with him and try to, and we just sing. And I like that. Praise the Lord. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 18. If you have them. If you don't have your Bible, shame on you. Double shame. Capital letters, S-H-A-M-E, shame on you. Say you love God and won't even bring a Bible to church. Goodness. Brother Don brought two this morning. He's got two, son. He can shoot left-handed or right-handed. He can go. Double-edged sword. Hallelujah. I like to watch a fellow that's, is that ambidextrous? A fellow can use right hand or left. I like to watch those kind of guys. Man, they can just, either way, don't matter. I can eat that away, but that's about my limit. I can hold a biscuit in either hand. It don't matter to me. All right, Luke chapter 18, verse number 9. The Bible said, and he spake a parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, and they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, so much for the good day, and we thank you for blessing. And Lord, we thank you for the good singing that our choir's done and how it's thrilled our hearts and, Lord, prepared us for the message that we're about to hear. And God, my prayer is, as always, if there's one here lost and without Jesus, I pray, God, that this would be that great day in which they humble themselves before God and, Lord, ask thee to come into their heart and save them before it's everlasting too late. Now, God, I pray that you'd be honored and glorified in all that we say and do, and we'll be careful to praise you and thank you, for we pray and ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. We've read this and preached from this probably several times, but you can always see something in it that the Lord will give you. Brother Andrew and I were talking about that a little bit last night, how that you can read something over and again, and all of a sudden, boy, click, God shows you something that perhaps maybe you've not ever seen before. And not that he's going to give you a new insight that he doesn't give to everybody else, but sometimes he gives it to others quicker than he does others. I'm slow sometimes to see things, but I like it when the Holy Ghost of God reveals the scriptures to us. Now here in Luke chapter 18, we have the parable of the Pharisee and the publican that went up to pray. Now, the Lord, of course, is speaking in this parable about those that exalt themselves and think they're better than others and so on. But then he starts out in verse number 10. He said, two men went into the temple to pray. That's a pretty good thing to do, don't you think? I mean, both of them went into the house of God to pray. Now, I wonder when people rode by this morning and saw us getting out of our automobiles, I wonder what they thought to themselves. I'm almost satisfied that they perhaps thought to themselves, well, those people are going to church. And you say, well, preacher, you don't have to say that. That's what we come here for. But did we really? Now, these two men went in to pray, the Bible says. But it didn't stop right there. It very quickly made a distinguishing point about each of them. It separated them. The Lord spoke of both of them. The two men went in to pray. The Bible said the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Well, that still doesn't raise too much alarm other than the fact that we will see about the Pharisee. And the Pharisees, they were the religious sect of their day. They came on the scene somewhere around the time that the Maccabees came in. And even the Maccabees made fun of them and called the Pharisees separatists. Now, have you ever heard that word separatist or separated? We use it often. Boy, we're independent Baptists. Separated from the world, and we ought to be separated from the world. But when we use that term, we do not use it in the terminology of exalting ourselves, being better than anybody else. My dear friend, at best, all we are this morning are sinners saved by the grace of God. But this old Pharisee would go in there and he'd stand near the temple where they would go in to offer their prayers, and he'd stand there and position himself so that everybody would see him. And then he'd begin to offer his prayer, and of course he stood and prayed thus with himself. And I like what one writer said. He said, boy, that guy had a meeting all by himself. God wasn't near it in 100 miles. I mean, he just prayed to himself, you know. And he started praying, God, I thank you. I thank thee. Now, that's a good part of prayer right there. If it had shut up, it'd have been all right. When he said, I thank thee, if it had just shut up, it'd have been all right. But he opened his mouth a little more and revealed his true character. He said, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers. And boy, he really put the blow on this publican, even as this publican. Other words, that old Pharisee is saying, the only reason I'm standing close to this publican is that we just happen to be going to the house of prayer. But outside of that, he wouldn't have given the time of day. He wouldn't have spit on him if he was on fire. I mean, he condemned that publican greatly with his word. He said, I ain't going to do nothing with that old boy. I'm glad God. But see what this old Pharisee was doing? He was exalting himself. And I found this little tidbit of information, Brother Charles, and I was studying this out about this man's prayer, and the Pharisees were very religious. They had the cloak of religion. They were whited sepulchers, but on the inside were dead men bones is all they were. But listen to what was a common prayer by many of the Pharisees of their day. This is what they would pray every time they prayed. Blessed be thou that thou hast not made me a Gentile. Blessed be thou that thou hast not made me an unlearned man. And blessed be thou that hast not made me a woman. That's what these Pharisees prayed. I'm not saying that to make fun of you women this morning. That's what these religious men prayed. I thank you that I'm not a Gentile. And you know what you and I are this morning? We're Gentiles saved by the good grace of God. Son, when the house of Ezra rejected, when they said, we just don't want them, hey, God said, I'll let the Gentiles get in on it. But I'm glad he let us in. I'm glad there's room at the cross. I'm glad we can come to Jesus and we can cry out unto him, and we don't have to pray a pharisaical prayer. We can get on our bended knees and pray like the publican prayed. And boy, God hears. But can you imagine praying the kind of prayer he prayed? I thank you, Lord, that thou hast not made me a Gentile, hadn't made me an unlearned man, you hadn't made me a woman. That's sad. You know, women in their day, hey, they were just part of their, I don't even know how to say it. The men just looked at them as just part of their belongings, as merchandise. I mean, they didn't lift up the woman no higher than that donkey they had out there in the back stall. Just part of my belongings. They could do away with them as quick as they got them. Didn't matter. But oh, I'm glad. See, the Pharisee was a self-righteous man. He tried to exalt himself. And over and again, in these verses, we find where he used that pronoun I thank thee, that I am not as others. I am not an extortioner. I am not unjust. I am not an adulterer. No, I fast twice a week. Boy, he's really letting the world know what he does. You know what I found out about my Lord? He said many times, if you'll just pray in secret, your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. This old fire. See, the only religion he has is what people saw. I mean, he pretended to be something he was. He didn't like the Gentiles. Hey, they didn't like the adultery. He said, I thank thee that I'm not an adulterer. Hey, you know what the Lord said about that woman that was caught in the act of adultery? A Pharisee caught her and some of his cohorts. Well, I wonder where they knew to go to see her. I wonder how they knew which house to go to. I wonder what knothole they've been looking through. I believe this was a setup. I believe they set her up. Son, the Lord, he knew how to work with that religious crowd. Son, he didn't applaud them and say, boy, I'm glad you helping me clean up the town. I'm glad y'all helping me get the harlots off the street. Son, the Lord just began to talk to them. He stooped down and began to write. And I believe those Pharisees, the names was on the top of the list. Every one of them that had been with this woman, they knew who she was. And when the Lord looked up, he said, woman, where art thine accusers? And she looked around and said, I don't have any. And boy, I like what he said. Neither do I condemn thee. Now, he didn't stop right there. Go and sin no more. I believe when a man gets saved and born again, he's going to change his way of living. Amen. He's not going to continue in the same old life that he lived. He's going to be what God wants him to be. But now that brings us to our publican. I heard a preacher read this one time. He said there was a Democrat and a Republican went up to pray. Don't get mad. But now the publican. So here's the Pharisee. He went in. He wanted everybody to see. He wanted everybody to know he was all right. But this old publican, the Bible said, standing afar off, he recognized his condition. He said, I'm not worthy to go into the temple and pray. I'll back as far away from the Holy of Holies as I can, and I'll just get over here in the corner, and I'll just confess my sin. Hey, you know what real conviction will do to a fella? It'll kick all the pride out of him in a heartbeat. Son, he won't stand up and boast and say, I thank you, I'm not like. Son, he'll stand over there, and he'll get on his bended knee, and he'll say, God, I'm a sinner. Son, this old boy knew his condition. He was a sinner. And before anybody can ever get saved, do you know that's the first thing they got to recognize? That they are a sinner. One of the hardest things in the world to do is to get a lost man. In order to get him saved, you got to get him lost. You got to make him see he's a sinner. But boy, we're living in a day where people don't want to admit that they're sinners. We pray like this Pharisee. But my Bible tells me all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I was listening to a tape yesterday by Dr. Hal Sattler. He preached this message in 1973. I had the privilege of hearing him preach this message, and he preached out of Psalm 78 and verse number 19. He preached a message. The psalmist said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And boy, he got to preaching and he said, God can furnish a table in the wilderness. And he began to preach on some things that God can do. And he said, this woman wrote him a letter one day and said, Dr. Sattler, I've been wicked and vile. I've broken all the Ten Commandments. I've done everything that can be done. She said, can God save an old sinner like me. He said, I wrote her back and I told her what Jeremiah said. He said, there is a balm in Gilead. He said to her, he said, God can save you. He said, God can change you. He said, this old girl got saved by the grace of God. He said, years later, he was in a restaurant and a little girl walked up to her and gave him an envelope. And she said, does this envelope belong to you? It was from the tabernacle over there, our place, wherever, you know. And he said, yeah, that's for my church. And she said, well, my mama wanted me to give it to you. He opened up the letter and she said, I'm still saved. She said, God is good. He went over there. He said, I went over there and sat down with that woman. He said, we talked about the Lord for about 10 minutes. He said, we had revival right there in the S&W restaurant. He said, we had a good time in God. He said, years later, she come to his church, walked up to him and said, do you remember me? He said, no, ma'am, don't believe I do. She said, I'm that harlot. I'm that one that wrote you that letter. He said, boy, I just had to park and let my mule loose for a little while. He said, I just started shouting, God can, God can, God can. I'm saying you get an old sinner to see their need of the Savior, God then can save them and birth them into the family of God. But if you get Pharisee religion, you'll walk out just as wicked and dirty and vile as you did when you come in. But boy, if you'll come in and do like this old publican and say, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Hey, God will save you this morning. God, listen, God doesn't want anybody to die and go to hell. Hell wasn't prepared for you. God didn't prepare hell for us. It's prepared for the devil and his angels. But what sad, God has fixed it so you can get saved, and yet people are dying, go to hell by the thousands, and they'll have no excuse that they can stand before God with and say, well, I didn't know. Hey, it's written on the heart of man. They can know. But this old sinner said, he stood afar off. I mean, listen, and that standing afar off, it typifies what sin will do. It'll separate you from God. It'll cause us not to want to be around God. I mean, boy, God put a conscience in every man. And I don't care who you are, what you've done. And I don't care how big we think we are or how powerful we think we are. Listen, everybody has a conscience. And God's got a way of working on that thing. I mean, God knows how to prick that conscience. I mean, he did it with the Apostle Paul. He says, is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? See, I don't believe from the day that he held the coat while Stephen was stoned dead, I don't believe he forgot what Stephen said. I don't believe he forgot the attitude of little old Stephen. I don't believe he forgot what he heard. And old Stephen prayed his last prayer, God, don't lay this into their charge. Man, somebody's killing me. You reckon I could pray that? Reckon you could pray that? God, don't lay this into their charge. But he prayed. I believe every time old Saul turned around, as he was known then, something would remind him, Brother Dan, of what he said or what he saw and how he had done. But finally, old Saul, he had been separated from God long enough, he finally saw himself. So that's what we got to do. See, the Pharisee prayed, I'm glad I'm not like, I'm not like, I'm not like. And this old sinner, he stood. And son, he had shame. The Bible said he would not so much as even lift up his eyes. See, somebody's guilty of something. Hey, I've been pulled over several times by the police and get tickets. I mean, they give them to me. They know my name. Son, I don't sit there and look up and, boy, praise God, I'm a preacher. Y'all just let me go. Glory to God. So I hang my head. I don't tell him who I am unless he looks on my lights. I don't tell him what I do. I've been caught in the act. I'm ashamed. And boy, when God called us and let us know that we were sinners, we couldn't look up like the Pharisee. We couldn't boast in life. I believe that's the trouble with a lot of our churches today. They're letting them walk the aisle short of conviction. They're signing them up. They're dunking them under. They're running them through the pledges, but they're not getting saved by the grace of God. Son, you got to have conviction. You got to realize you're a sinner. You got to realize there's nothing worth in your life that'll get you to heaven short of Jesus. And this old publican prayed. He just wouldn't even look up. He couldn't. He's under conviction. But then we find where even old Ezra said, "Oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee." He went on to say, "For our iniquities have increased." You know, we're living today where people don't blush no more. Why, they're not ashamed of nothing. I mean, listen, I can talk to couples today and just talking to them, you'd think they've been married 10 years. They live together anymore. And it's not just young couples in their 20s. It's not just young couples in their 30s. It's old couples in their 60s and 70s and 80s living in adultery, living outside the will of God, living like a devil and acting like everything's all right. This old sinner said, "God, I'm ashamed." He wouldn't even lift up his eyes. Then we see he recognized just how awful he was. Bible said, and the publican standing afar off would not so much lift up his eyes, so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast. When he smote upon his breast, you know what he said? "I'm guilty, and there's nothing that I can say that'll make any difference." That's what that signified when he smote upon his breast. He wasn't playing Tarzan. No, sir. I remember when I was a little bitty boy, I'd run out in the yard with a pair of cut-off blue jeans on, and I'd get mama's dish towels. I'd put one in front and one in the back, and I'd pretend like I was swinging from tree to tree. I was Tarzan. And there's a lot of natives down there in South Georgia. I had myself a time. But listen, this old boy said, "God, I'm a sinner." He smote himself upon the breast. That was a sign showing, hey, there's just nothing I can say anymore. I used to go, I think I've told you this several times, but a buddy of mine, Keith Moore, I believe that's his name, wasn't Keith Moore in Chattanooga? Keith and I would go to the courthouse in Chattanooga and just sit in on some cases. We wasn't training to be lawyers. We just wanted to hear the lawyers talk. But buddy, every now and then they'd have a man in there, a woman in there, and they was guilty. I mean, they was guilty of sin, and their lawyer knew they was guilty of sin. They wouldn't even let them get up on the stand. There's nothing they could say in their own defense. Hey, there's nothing you and I could say when we stood before God that day when we was lost. Nothing we could say. Nothing that would alter our course as far as going to hell is concerned. Nothing that would make any difference to God. Nothing that would make God change his mind. The only thing that we could say that would change a mind of God was, "God, be merciful unto me, a sinner." Boy, when we prayed that prayer, hey, God in his great mercy showed up. Son, he come down. He let us see that we needed a Savior. Listen, if we're going to get saved, we got to do it God's way. Let him know we're a sinner. And that old publican prayed just these, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words. "God, be merciful for to me, a sinner." See, sometimes we as Baptists, we think, boy, they got to come down, we got to take them through the Romans road, and they got to pray what we tell them to pray, or they won't get saved. I believe many a man, woman, boy, girl, before they ever hit that altar, has already been saved and born again. I mean, they come down under conviction, and all they know how to say is, "God, I'm a sinner, save my soul." Amen. See, it's not so much the words you say as the condition of your heart. The only reason we want them to pray that prayer is we kind of want to know that they meant business. But we need to be careful about that. I don't do that as much as I used to. Now, if they ask me what they need to pray, I try not to put words in their mouth. I try to make them see what they are in Christ. And then I'll ask an old sinner, once they ask God to come into their heart and save them, ever how they pray that prayer, I just simply ask them this: "Now, do you think what you did will get you to heaven?" And if they say, "Yeah," I say, "Praise God, you're saved and born again." But if they say, "I'm not sure," I say, "Well, let's go back to the book. Let's go back to the book." Hey, I'm saying this old sinner prayed and said, "God, Be merciful unto me, a sinner. Now listen to what the Lord said. He said, I tell you. Boy, I tell you, think about that. The crowd that was around Jesus. It wasn't just that Pharisee and just the publican. There's a whole pile of people around Jesus. There was more than two at the temple that day. But the Bible records that these two just happened to walk in together. But there was a big crowd there. Now Jesus gets their attention and he says, I tell you. And I bet that old Pharisee thought within himself, he thought, he's going to just further my cause. He's going to let that old publican know that he's no good, no count, not worth anything. He's a Gentile. He's unlearned. He might as well be a woman. He's not good as us. He'll never be as good as us. He'll never be able to stand where I stand. But the Lord surprised him. He said, I tell you, this man, talking about the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. Can you imagine the look on that Pharisee's face? Can you imagine when he heard the Lord say those words, how surprised he was? Well, I thought I was the one justified. See, what he's trying to do is compare himself with others. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When we come to the Lord, all we can do is say, God, I'm a sinner. Right. And God said, this man, talking about the publican, went down to his house justified. He went down saved. You know what's going to be a sad day in America? Now, for us that are saved, it's going to be a great day. But one of these days, Brother Carl, if I understand my Bible right, God's going to let that trumpet sound soon. Amen. There's going to be a trumpet sound. There's going to be a voice, and up we're going to go and meet the Lord in the air. The Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first. As old B.R. Lincoln said one time, they got 6 feet further to go. The dead in Christ will rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. But do you know what's going to be a sad irony to that? The day after the rapture, they're going to be that Pharisee crowd going to go to church like they've always done. They're going to open up their prayer book and read a prayer. How they don't know how to pray on their own. They got to write their prayers down. They got to buy a prayer book. But I'm glad God said, come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen. God, my dear friend, will show you and I how we need to pray. Pharisee crowd's going to open up their prayer books. They're going to walk in with their long black robe and white collars on. They're going to go to church as usual. They're going to realize something. Even in that crowd, there's a few that get saved along the way. Now, I'm a Baptist by conviction, but I believe there's going to be more than Baptists in heaven. Sure there is. God ain't going to ask me when I stand before God at this gate. He's not going to say, you're a Baptist, I'll let you in. No, sir. If he sees the blood, amen, you're going in. All that other will be straightened out once you get there. Hey, the Methodists will be straightened out. The Presbyterians will be straightened out. And some good old-fashioned independent Baptists are going to be straightened out that day. Amen. There are some in that crowd think they think Baptists are the only one going. They're stupid. Yeah, they are. I almost got caught up in that one time in my early years as a Christian. Baptists are the only one going. I like what old Oliver Green said one time. I can't be too proud of being a Baptist. There's too many of them in prison. But I'm a Christian. I'm going based on the blood. I'm going based on what God said. Not what my church says. What God says. Now I'll reiterate. I'm a Baptist by conviction. And again, I'll quote B.R. Lincoln. He said, if I could find something better than a Baptist, I'd be that. Now, I know we're not perfect, but I think Baptists probably hold more to a literal translation of the Bible than anybody else. And we certainly got the right book, the fundamentalists do. We got the King James Bible. Amen. That's the only Bible for the English-speaking people. You don't need none of that other junk. No, sir. Well, God said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Hey, you want to be saved and go to heaven? You need to humble yourself before God and say, God, I'm a sinner. Right. Young people, listen to me. You can't rely. Hey, boy, y'all can't rely on your mom and dad's salvation to get y'all to heaven. That won't get you there. Right. Sarah, you can't rely on your mom and dad over there to get you to heaven. That won't get you. You got to be saved. Elise, you can't rely on the fact that you're married to a preacher to get you to heaven. Now, I believe she's going to get a special reward for being married to one. What she has to put up with all the time. Say, she knows me like I really am. You don't know me like she knows me. If you want to know something about the preacher, ask Sister Carl there. She'll tell you. Brother Carl, I'm glad when I go, every time I've ever candidated to church, I'm glad it's me they call into question, not my wife. That could be dangerous. But I'm just trying to say, tell you, you don't go to heaven based on who you are or who you're kin to or what church you're a member of. You must be born again if you want to go to heaven. It's the only way you're going to go. And I want to go the way of the publican, not the way of the Pharisee. Let's pray. Father, God, we thank you for loving us. And God, we like the publican, all we can do is bow our heads, cried unto thee, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, even though I'm saved and I know you as my Savior, God, I fall short. I have no reason to boast. The only boasting I can do is in Jesus. The only boasting I can do is in the cross. And boast in the blood and how that it covers all our sins. God, I pray that you'd bring deep-seated conviction upon the hearts of boys and girls and men and women this morning. And God, may they come to Jesus and want to be saved. I pray, God, that you'd bless in this invitation. Strengthen the Christian, the child of God that's going astray. They're not where they ought to be with you. God, I pray that you'd bring them back. Have your way, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Shane, you come. Our musicians have come. We're going to have a stanza of an invitation. If you need to be saved, listen, time we start the invitation, come on down to this altar. We'll let somebody that knows how take the Bible and show you how you can know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to heaven.